You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum. He's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less. And Greg sounded worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew. We got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the pirate radio.
Happy Greg Cody Tuesday. He is radiant. He is getting so many clicks at the Miami Herald. His podcast is climbing up the charts because it's one of the few places where you can get access to the stuff that you missed during the 24-hour special. His eyes are dilated, but I want to start, and I am not going to yammer today. I am not. I promise you, I will not yammer today. I was sort of broken by the last, 13, 14 months, and I've been crazed the last couple of days. And so I have spent the last couple of days basically apologizing to everyone. I went to Mike's grave and I apologized yesterday for yesterday's show specifically. I apologized to his grieving wife, Cynthia, about killing him. I went to Billy's hospital bed. I don't know if it was last rites they were doing, but it felt somber in there. And I apologized to him for yesterday's show as well.
You even went to my wife's belly and apologized to my
future baby for welcoming in the news of your second child,
Faby,
with that terrible show that I did yesterday. And I apologize to you, the audience. What I should have said is I'm really grateful for everything that happened, and I should have just left it at some form of that. But the last year has just been unbearably hard, and so it all leaked out this weekend in an emotional mess. It did not make me very good yesterday and did not allow me to share the space. I hope I age better than that. And I apologize to all of you for being not myself here recently. I already apologized to the shipping container. I will never apologize to Stugatz. He's gotten too rich. Like, he understands the deal.
Thanks. Accepted.
The Nets, I think Stugatz, and this happens so often around here, Stugatz with the most basic of analysis just sort of undercuts everything. We were arguing about Tyler Hero around here for James Harden for months, and Stugatz is like, what are you guys talking about? You just trade for him. You guys are idiots. All year he's been saying, yeah, Dan, tell me about the Nets defense some more.
Yep. I mean, listen, you guys try to make this stuff so complex, okay? They have the three of the top five players in the NBA. They're so good, they don't even need James Harden. I mean, oh, can they play defense? Oh, they'll never be able to play defense. And here they are playing defense. I mean, enough already. Stop thinking so much. Not good for you, Dan.
I mean, it certainly hasn't been over the last 12 months, for sure. What is it? This is, we're doing this all for the first time. You will get some of this in video. We're still going to figure out the pieces of how it is to give this to you live and how it is to give it to you in different places. DraftKings is going to, I'm guessing, help us put it on radio stations and everything else. But the growth, you'll see it happen over the next few months and years, really. That's part of the deal that we're making. But just so you understand, this whole weekend was a bit of a finish line for me on a number of different fronts, choosing newspapering as a profession, never thinking that any of this could be possible. It was a finish line. So there's that. And now we start anew. And I wish I had just covered this way yesterday, where we sort of just shared and enjoyed in the things that happened this weekend instead of like not being myself yammering. Do you guys have any sound of me talking so much that I just never finished any of my points? Like, I just never got to anything I actually wanted to say.
That would be like the first hour or two of yesterday's show, perhaps the first 3 hours of the marathon.
I think after the first hour, I did look up and say, we should do that over, didn't I? Which is not something I do. I don't think I've ever done that before.
An hour in?
I don't know when it was, but I did look up and say, should we do that over?
We definitely did have a conversation that was, hey, let's share the ball a little bit.
I don't think I've ever said after an hour, let's do that over.
And I can tell you, I wasn't doing it over. I mean,
well, that's part
of
the problem.
Invested an hour.
That's part of the problem. He had already taken the heat of that on the side of his face for a long time. So we will talk about the Nets and Julio Jones. Like, what is that team going to look like? Like, I never know, right? Because Antonio Brown was great when he was the only guy. And then he goes to Tampa and is good enough. And he's going to be a weapon. And he's been out of the sport for a while. But he certainly wasn't what he was in Pittsburgh. So when you have to share the ball in that sport, what do you do on that team? Because Julio Jones gets there, and he is their number one receiver immediately. I don't even understand. I really don't, Greg. I don't understand this sport in that I don't understand how Julio Jones, every team in the league, isn't throwing a first-round pick at that.
Right. Yeah, they got him cheap, I thought, for what, a second and a third, or a second and a fourth, I think it was.
There was a report, though, from Diana Russini that a first-round pick was on the table. They withdrew, the team who made that offer withdrew the offer because they did not want to include a current player on their roster.
So they have two elite receivers now and arguably the best running back in the league. And Ryan Tannehill, when they got Julio Jones, his MVP odds went from like 50 to 1 to 15 to 1 overnight.
It's the kind of move, Stugatz, and I don't get this. So you tell me what other teams make sense, because if Tennessee's willing to do it, they have a number one. So now you can't tell me other teams that don't want him, well, they're set at that position. They don't need Julio Jones. It's Julio Jones. And I think some of the math that has to be done here on any of this throughout the league is not – can I get better? Can I get better than the Chiefs?
Right. Now, they've beaten the Chiefs, right? The Titans, they beat.
Just over the decade.
Right.
Can
right.
I get better than the Chiefs for the next decade? Because I'm never going to be better than them at the quarterback position.
And Stugatz is right. Like, you know, the Titans did beat the Chiefs. But it's like you have to go into the game entering thinking that you can beat the Chiefs, whereas you can pull off a shock upset. Like, the Titans need to get to a level where they're there. I honestly hadn't viewed that trade through that prism. I viewed it through the prism of, is 33-year-old Julio Jones, like, really the difference here? Because...
Wow.
Wait, on a team that runs the ball.
Wow.
I mean, with Derrick Henry, that's what they do.
Wow.
Ooh. I think the measurement stick in that sport is now the Chiefs. That's where everyone has to get. And the way to get there is make yourself more and more overwhelming, because we're aware of what kind of overwhelming they are. The Titans are close. We know that. Anything can happen in the playoffs, couple of different bounces. We know the Titans are close. Injuries can short circuit everything. I don't know if Julio Jones can stay healthy. I'm simply saying to you, it's Julio Jones. I'm legit confused why every team in the league that thinks it's this far away from the Chiefs isn't saying on its offense, I want to add Julio Jones.
I believe it's the contract, right? That's what the Falcons wanted. They wanted other teams to pay most of, if not all, of that contract. And I think a lot of teams were put off by that or couldn't handle it.
I will say to you, again, maybe I'm wrong on this, because maybe you can get me a football person who can explain this portion of it to me. I know he's been injured. And I know that he's older and expensive. I also know that Michael Irvin looks at that gift and says it's the best I've ever seen in that sport. Like, right. Just looks at all of it. Not that he's the best receiver, but it's the most unstoppable thing in the sport. And to me, I'd be willing to give up a second and a player. I'd be willing to give up a first-round pick who is a maybe, who might be good and cheap for a while, for the specifics of that. If you're telling me any offense is one piece away, that feels like the piece that you take that gamble on.
Right.
You know, it's slightly perilous in that, I mean, Julio Jones did only play 9 games last year. And how sustainable do we think the Derrick Henry thing is? And, like, I know that we've kind of said it for a couple of years now, but that's a shitload of carries that guy's had over the course of, what is it, like 400 carries
in
the last 2 seasons?
Go back to Alabama.
He had 380 attempts last year.
That's a ton. Who's done that over the last 2 years?
Not since Ricky has someone been run like that. Not since Wonsett was doing it to Ricky. Do you run? You will absolutely. There is a window that you can win with that playing that way. How many running backs? You want to name them all? Sean Alexander through. Bunch of guys who come in for a couple of years and run rugged style and then can't do it anymore. That's one of the reasons that Marshawn Lynch was such a crazy aberration. Right. Because guys can't sustain that for that long.
300 is a ton of carries. And with an added game this year, Derrick Henry could have 400 carries. He will break down. But Tennessee's good enough and close enough where they need their window is like, what, 3 years? That's why I don't think they're that worried about Julio Jones's age, because it's a three-year window, right? They're looking at 3 years to overtake, to somehow overtake Kansas City.
It's 681 carries for Henry over the last 2 years, which is crazy. So if you're getting him, Greg, Julio Jones, you have to commit to throwing the ball a lot more. You have two number one wide receivers on your team.
Right. And
that's going away from what you've done to make your team this good, which is Derrick Henry.
And the way it works is that because of that, life is easier for Derrick Henry. The holes for him get that much bigger.
What I think this really does more than anything is puts expectations on Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
And that is the thing that I think we all have to sit back and be like he was good when he didn't have much expectations with the Titans. But now that they have Julio, people are going to be looking at that like that team needs to go further than it did last year.
His life is also made easier by the Derrick Henry thing. Stugatz mentioned his regular season carries numbers, which is what, 678 you said?
Yeah.
You tack on 101 more in the playoffs. So he's basically at 800 carries the last two seasons.
This is a wild oversimplification because it's a team sport and a lot of things go into it. And you saw what Mahomes looked like the first time you've ever seen him look like that when he didn't have any of his offensive linemen. But the Chiefs have, and injuries change all of the math on all of these things, but the Chiefs have rectified what was their issue. And I think everyone listening to this, no matter what you think of the variations in football, kind of feels like if the Chiefs stay healthy at quarterback, the Chiefs are going to be the thing to beat for a decade. And if that's the case, if that's the standard in a competitive sport in your league, again, oversimplification, but can you do better than Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill with your quarterback being worse than Mahomes? You right. Got to go, like, it's an oversimplification, but how overwhelming in the offensive age can you make your offense? And Julio Jones is the kind of player that helps you there. The competition, Tannehill's going to be only so good, but look at how good he was with the Dolphins when he didn't have any of this. And now look what happens when you put Derrick Henry and you put, you know, a wide receiver set that is a bit overwhelming now.
Right. For the next decade, though, I would say Chiefs are Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Don't do it, Dan. Care about you.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Would it stun you if I told you that the Tennessee Titans outscored the Kansas City Chiefs last year?
Yes.
They were great. Yeah. They were great.
But that still stuns me, yes. I
mean, they have a fairly high bar, and they just added Julio Jones. So, I mean, I was listening to a really interesting conversation that Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo were having about the Portland Trailblazers and how the solution to their team might not be finding defense, but just finding more players that can score. It does seem like in sports right now, it's just grab as much offense, which is, you know, getting back to the Brooklyn Nets point, is just get as much offense. And I wonder if the NFL is kind of moving in the same direction, just get all of the players.
If what you see happening, there needs to be a next evolution. You've seen in baseball, you get the shift and all that stuff, and home runs are nothing. You've seen in football all of the changes that have been made so that the games aren't 9-6. Like, you don't, when's the last time you saw one of those Steeler-Raven games?
I love, like, those games, though. I miss them.
I understand.
But defensive battle.
Yes, yes. But the next inefficiency might be to be exploited, and the Nets might be the example of this. All of a sudden, being so overwhelming offensively that they render defense irrelevant, because they'd have the single worst defense to ever, by miles, to ever win a championship if they could just out-offense everybody. But Chris's point is an interesting one, because the next inefficiency to exploit is that all these leagues will keep changing the rules to make sure to protect the offense, because we want the offense. And if you've seen bare naked greed during a pandemic, How much greed is there going to be in market in the fact that the league, it's salary capped league. Everything is random. Playoffs are random. Injuries are random. 49ers are a bounce away. Then everyone gets hurt and they're not good anymore. What can we do? Help the offenses. Make the offenses more overwhelming. Everybody likes offense except Stugatz, because still craving the 9-6 game.
I love that game.
He's the one.
I mean, a few field goals, it's you don't miss those days? A little defensive struggle, cold weather, some snow, Steelers, Ravens, AFC North. Wow.
Give me like 6 field goals, Stugatz.
Yes.
Give me like 6 field goals, 5 of them into the wind, look like they're not going to make it all the way. Give me 6 field goals and 3 missed field goals.
That is football. I mean,
nothing more exciting than a missed field goal.
Love it.
Put it on the poll, please, Chris Cody. Is there anything more exciting than a missed field goal? And also put on the poll, and just make this all one word. Do you miss Steelers, Ravens? That is football. 6 field goals, 3 missed field goals. Wow. Just put all of that together. Frozen tundra. Throw that in there somewhere.
Why not?
Yeah. Everybody is craving it, but the leagues, unfortunately, are just legislating it right out of the game, because if they kept producing that game, the person who would be there is Stugatz by himself, claiming that that's the kind of football he liked.
I'll meet you there, Stugatz.
Greg, are you okay?
You okay, Greg?
Yeah, I'm good.
We got to keep the show moving now around it. It's happening so often. He doesn't know where his cough button is anymore.
Yeah, I don't have a cough button. I do have a mute button, but I forgot until I was mid-cough. I forgot my inhaler today, so it's going to be a rocky ride.
And once you're mid-cough, I mean, forget it. You can't
exactly. Stop. You got right. it. You can't stop a cough.
All right, so it's just going to be here, and I say we don't even acknowledge it the rest of the way. Right. Like, I just say, just if he's coughing, do it right into the microphone, okay? Like, so everyone can experience what right. Don't even move away. Just if you have
I did to, lean away.
No, but don't even anymore.
Okay. Like, it
didn't
it?
Do it didn't do any good in terms of interrupting or not interrupting the guy. Okay. You moved away, but we all worried about right. you. We all
but
stopped.
He always wins, though.
Still. Him and Stugatz, it's part of the beauty of the environment. One of the things that always happens around here is the mistake. So, Whittingham, you yesterday put together a bunch of people are looking for all this stuff because they can't find it. YouTube, we can't download, even if we wanted to. It's just too big a file, 24 straight hours, and we can't do it yet. And you're searching the internet for little pieces of what it is that you missed, because rare is something this kind of sticky, where this jalopy is in the sky and it's just belching mistakes all over the place, and you can laugh at everything because we don't know what we're doing. And but what we did Saturday was insane. I'm not kidding you when I say, I'm not joking when I tell you that what was replaced in the headsets of Mike Ryan, and this is why we killed him, it was worth it, but this is why he's now dead. What was in the headset of Mike Ryan that day, and Kate Fagan had that headset on for 3 seconds, yanked it off as if her ears had been stung by bees and then lightning, and forgot as a professional speaker to not dead air. Just stared at us and threw the headsets off. Whittingham's a paid professional. He's pretty competent and composed. It looked like his eyebrows were singed one time when he tried to talk the headsets. What was in that headset was Disney, what used to be Disney Media Pro Washington. All of those entities, the three of them, had teams. Disney Media Pro Washington was in his ear at the same time for 24 straight hours. And we went from not doing the show at all, it's always taped, not doing the show in any way live, no breaks, nothing. So of course there were going to be mistakes, and of course we were going to sink into them, and of course people who love this show were never going to turn away. So what is some of the sound you wanted to get to? Because people are climbing all over themselves to get to Cody's podcast, because that's where you will find 1 hour deconstructed of the 4 a.m. belly button extravaganza. What do you want to tell people about your podcast, what they can get there, right, and what it is that you discuss today?
Yeah, people have been flooding to it. It's my most downloaded podcast in like 6 months. We had a lot of fun. I cold called my wife at 4:15, and she was about as angry as
Shannon Sharp style.
Shannon Sharp style. We had on a belly button doctor,
yeah,
which was very revealing, and we had on a psychic. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot. I was asleep through the whole thing, but it seemed like fun.
What did the doctor have to say about your belly button? Can you share a little bit of that with
Sure. Don't give it all away.
Yeah, just a little tease, you know.
What was the medical term he used, Chris?
Did you ask him about the cough? I mean,
no, I didn't, actually.
Something herniated, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a abdominal wall herniation or, you know.
It was like an umbilical hernia, like from your umbilical cord,
Thank you.
Greg?
Yeah, so I blame my late mother because I think I was a difficult birth. I don't know whether that factors in.
Chris, put it on the poll, please. Do you blame your late mother?
I do.
But is it your late mother or the doctor who's responsible, or the nurse, for cutting that umbilical cord?
You know, that could be, right. too. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I have a pointy head because I was a tough birth. But apparently years later, I'm still suffering this umbilical issue. But the doctor, thank God, it's just a cosmetic issue. It's nothing I have to have surgically removed or anything like that.
At least that's what he said over Zoom.
There were a number of things visually that made me laugh about that entire hour, but only one made me laugh more than how lo-fi 1980s infomercial this isn't a real doctor that video felt. And so it felt like he was broadcasting from a living room that had paneling on the walls.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like Tupelo.
It felt from another time. That was one kind of funny. But the funniest thing to me in that entire hour was I'm looking at the clock. Okay. It's a show 4 to 5 a.m. And it says 4:01 and 19 seconds. And Greg Cody is fiddling around with his headset on his head, like super, super visibly exhausted and maybe delirious. And he actually says out loud into the microphone, he's a minute and 12 seconds into an hour that's his. I'm so tired. And he wasn't even talking to anybody in particular, I don't think. I think he had misplaced his papers is what had happened.
Yeah, I was supposed to do a read for somebody.
Yeah. Verizon.
Verizon.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon.
That's
builds
for sure.
5G.
No
I
doubt.
Mean, it was 4 a.m. He had every excuse to be tired.
But then he starts doing a podcast bit about how his eyelids are being held open with toothpicks. And then it's like, Dad, we're on YouTube. Everyone can see that you're just like doing a YouTube podcast bit right now.
I mean, you know, come on.
I love you so much.
Theater of the mind, Greg.
Theater of the mind. That's right.
Where did you guys get that doctor? Because I'm telling you, I want to see in Metal Arc Media's when I have to look over what that goddamn thing cost. I want to see a number next to fake doctor, because it felt like you were paying an actor to be a doctor who would be funny because he looks so cheap.
Oh boy.
Just do it into the mic. It's fine.
Don't make me laugh. That's a problem with this show. I laugh for an hour and I cough.
Can we get a board back there that counts up the number of times he coughs and the number of times he coughs from laughing and see if we could separate those two things?
That's the problem with this show, or that's the problem with your health?
That too. But listen, the podcast got off to a rocky start, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus like Amin El Hassan or Zach Harper.
Oh, wow.
But they were very slow getting out of that. Am I right? Christopher referred to it as a line change that didn't go well. I'm in here. It's 4 a.m. I'm looking to lean into a mic and start my podcast. Zach Harper's still picking up his coffee. Amin is still over there. Christopher, am I wrong?
I mean, you were incredibly slow getting in there. I mean, there was a line change, but like it was 50-50 at the very best for you.
In Greg's defense, I mean, you know, he can be kind of a ball hog, right?
Wow. Thank you.
Wow. Oh, man.
Wow.
There's my daughter.
I mean, how often does he plug his podcast on the show?
Exactly.
Wow.
Cinephobe. It's a podcast where Zach Harper and Amin El Hassan review movies rated less than 40% on Rotten Tomatoes and ascertain whether they are properly rated or didn't get a fair shake.
That's right. I thought that was Cinephile, no?
No, that's Adnan's podcast.
Oh, right.
Totally different thing. It's going to be fun to grow both of those podcasts out because one of them's about good movies, one of them's about bad movies, one of them's about really the comedy around bad movies, and Adnan's taking... Chris, you are helping Adnan with this podcast, and two of the things that happened, I noticed... I've been talking to Adnan about this, right? About the specifics of he is such a kind and likable person. So very kind. But he is a positivity yammerer. Like, when he starts talking, there is no getting a lasso on him. He's got so much information, but it is rat-a-tat-tat, speedbag in your face, unstoppably likable until you don't like it and turn away because it's coming at you too much. And that's why Stugatz called him for stupidity. We don't have a more long-winded guest around here. He'd even tell you himself.
He fills time. I mean, that's what I need. All right. Greg could have used some time filling it for
him. He fills time, but he fills time too nice. He's too nice about it. Like, he's not, no one's gonna dislike Adnan. We've gotta mold Adnan into somebody who's gonna give a strong opinion. Did you see what he did to me? Adnan actually did to me at some point during that insanity. I'm coming on a Zoom. I'm sitting down right before we're starting. I don't know what they're doing. I don't remember where it was. And Adnan says to me in the middle of what he's doing on his show, I don't remember why I'm sitting down, "Hey, Dan, on Hemingway, I found the subject of androgyny fascinating. Can you tell us what you thought?" No, Adnan, tell me what the hell you thought. You don't have any opinions here, do you? You don't have a single opinion. You want me to throw it, to give you opinion on androgyny so you could steal it and then have that opinion like, that's Stugatz's move. You can't do that.
What is that?
Well, there you go.
We are working on some bits to make Adnan a little meaner. You know, where he just rips people.
Bad man.
Yeah. Oh! Whoa. There it is.
Yeah. Wow.
Mad man.
Genius producer. You look and see, this is why Stugatz is the secret genius. There it is.
Down.
Bad man.
Yeah. Take credit for that, Christopher.
Stugatz is going to start charging you like consulting fees because Adnan is too nice and he yammers too long. Too nice. Someone tell him.
I think you just did.
Chris, but that's part of producing. Seriously, Adnan is exceptional at this. He is so, so damn interesting.
So good.
So damn interesting. He knows so much, and he wants to tell it to you all at the same time.
I got to harness it.
It's a power, what he has inside there, but it needs to be nurtured.
Is Adnan the kind of guy who will take coaching? Because I don't
know. Yes. Oh, 100%. So, God, he's dying for it. It's weird to me that he could become that good without having really had it. Like, that doesn't even make any sense to me.
Well, he's a TV genius. I think that's what it is. He starts to do TV, and it's like, this is a podcast. This is different. Slow down a little bit. Like, I feel like that's what it is.
I think when we were at ESPN, people would say the hardest show to host was Baseball Tonight, and the best at doing it was Adnan Virk. Like, it's just, he is such a TV pro, man. It's crazy.
I think that's where you will help him as a producer, Chris, because you're absolutely right about that distinction. I remember telling Max Kellerman, I'm like, Max, Christ almighty, I used to talk to you and they'd be normal conversations. And now you're talking to me like minutes at a time, like it's first take. And he's like, my wife says the same thing.
Wow.
And because you just become this thing. And I think you've got it exactly right, Chris. I think he's so used to, there must be no hiccups here as I grind through television because it's got to be perfect as I do it, that this medium is sloppier than that and he might not know it and you'll help him a lot there.
Are you now imagining Max Kellerman telling his wife for 3 minutes that the Carolina Panthers are overrated?
No, like, I
just,
don't think
like I've got laying him doing out it, this I've, argument.
I've got him doing it with like food items at the table.
Yeah.
Like hot take debates on like the
Let
mashed
me tell
potatoes.
You something about Chinese food.
Yeah. Right. I have Stephen A. Smith having a strong, angry opinion about where the salt shaker has been placed.
I think that the conversation would be about not a hot take, because Max Kellerman, one of the reasons that show has changed so much, even though the formula is the same, right? It's just Stephen A. and Bayless used to be the guys, so much so that they were going to bring back, they reported that they were going to bring back Bayless because the chemistry was special, because they both knew the roles that they were in.
Correct.
And they both appealed to a divided America. And you're talking about Stugatz. That show did ratings in a time slot where no one did ratings, not much, but just something, which isn't very much. And it was doing so, not always, this is a generalization, but among the unemployed. And that's all of it, right? It's white resentment, it's black desperation, the unemployed. And they stirred up formulaically with two wrestling characters, white against black, arguing about things, getting heated. It's two guys who know the wrestling roles. Skip Bayless used to be a journalist. He chose this a long time ago. He had zero followers on Twitter, flexing, staying young till the end, really, because he was never Greg, you could speak to this. Skip Bayless was never one of America's preeminent journalists. He was good, right. But amongst our peers, he was a guy who was above average okay. He didn't have the talent commensurate with what he's doing now in writing.
Right. I would agree with that. Yeah, he's made a great career move, to say the least, and lasted a long time.
I do want to see something you said. You said zero followers on Twitter. It's zero following. He doesn't follow anyone else because no one else's thoughts are worth hearing.
Thank you. Good correction. But he's in character.
Oh, he's in character. But I think where you were headed was when Max took over, he was not doing that. He did not want to be Skip Bayless.
No, but Max still doesn't do that. I see, know. This is the thing. I can tell you for a fact that Stephen A. thinks it would be a better show if it had less nuance. That Max is actually someone who's not going to be Bayless.
Right.
And so Max isn't Skip.
Yeah.
Max isn't as successful as Skip. Max isn't even Stephen A. Max is exceptional at this. Good God, Max is good at this. But he's not that. And what's interesting about that is Max came up wanting to be a hip-hop guy. There's a video that Max Kellerman did. Max Kellerman was on television when he was like 14 years old in New York, 14 or 15 years old. And then he becomes somebody who, like, I think I told you this, Stugatz. I had a conversation with him when he was 32 or 33 years old at PTI, where he was saying that he was a failure and he hadn't accomplished anything because look at what Martin Luther King and Jesus did before they were 33.
Lofty expectations.
Well, but I told you the first time I did PTI with him, he says to me, he wasn't joking, I'm the greatest public orator since MLK.
Wow. And he said that with a straight face?
Straight face, and he wasn't kidding. And from that, he did some things with it, but the thing that he didn't notice is, at some point here, Max, take it slightly less seriously and just become the professional wrestler. You don't have to worry about the nuance or being right, or in this climate, the race conversations that actually require some thought. Don't worry about any of that. Just feed the unemployed in that hour. Again, just people, and it's not everybody because there's some overnight people. And I'm not slurring that entire audience. I'm just explaining to you that people aren't watching television from 10 to 2 unless they're not working, usually. Right. And so what ended up happening there that was fascinating to me is it became a slightly lesser show. It became a slightly more palatable commercial show. It was less of an embarrassment for ESPN, but it became a less good show.
Right.
And it's no fault of anything other than Max. What Max keeps bringing nuance to it, and it's like, no, not here. Right. This is not what we're doing here.
It's not what First Take is all about. I mean, Bayless and Stephen A. Smith—that was magical. I'd say what you will about both of them and that show, it was magical television. You had two guys willing to play a role on steroids. Really, it's crazy. And Max ain't doing it. He's too smart.
I prefer authentic, though. I prefer. Eh. Yeah, I get it.
I prefer to be entertained.
I get it. Yeah. But I'm less entertained when I know you're faking it.
I don't care if you're faking it. Just entertain me. Like, I think Skip, do you think Skip was, you're telling me we didn't see the real Skip Bayless? Maybe that is the real Skip Bayless deep down inside.
Don't rationalize this. You're arguing on behalf of faking it because you have for 20 years.
No doubt.
Like, of course you're going to argue. Yeah. Embrace the character.
You're good, like, looking right into my soul, man. You are great at that. I was faking it. I mean.
Skip, it's like everything else around here. It's the volume turned up to 10. This is all. Hey, look, man. Fancy Lad is Fancy Lad.
Yeah, he is.
Like, him leaning into it or us making fun of it, it's just leaning into the weirdness of the character of who you authentically are. Like, what? Nobody around here, when they're listening to our show, knows what's real and what's not. You still don't know whether Greg Cody actually betrayed me or we were in on it together. You still don't know.
The only thing that's real is Tony. Oh, Tony.
I'm actually really skinny. I'm really skinny in real life, actually. It's all a bit.
And I'm young.
And I'm smart.
No, 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 no. Now you've gone too far.
Texting and privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Well, welcome to Miami, Lionel Messi. How about that? It's real. It's happening.
Is this just you trying to plug your column?
Well, you know, you can read it in the Miami Herald if you like.
Plugging it.
Clicks for Cody. But, you know, we tend to not believe anything that's reported in soccer because so much of it, rumor and speculation tend to transmogrify into reported news. So in this case, you don't know whether it's true or not, but a legitimate Spanish daily reported with specifics that Barcelona and Messi are negotiating a 10-year contract extension that would include a 2-year MLS swan song with Inter Miami. And there were such specifics in the deal that I'm inclined to think it's happening. And Messi, you know, he owns he bought the 9th floor of a luxury condo in Sunny Isles Beach, which is just north of Miami Beach. And so he has a $7 million condo here. He loves Miami. And it just seems so plausible to me. I think Inter Miami fans can honestly begin to get excited about Messi being here in a couple of years.
Sounds like Trans Rivera to me. I mean,
Chris, Cody, can you put on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show? Have you ever used the word transmogrify?
Oh,
that sound right to you, Chris? Does that sound right to
you? I can't question the professional writer. I mean, Greg absolutely nailed the use of transmogrify there. I'm just jealous.
Forgive me, I wasn't asking you, did he get that right? I know what transmogrify means. I was asking you, did he get Messi right as our soccer expert?
Oh, yeah, so that's a real interesting one because Lionel Messi is kind of the underrated story of the summer right now, that the best soccer player in the world is currently a free agent, and he might leave the club that he's been at since he's like 12 years old, and there is lots of ways that the pandemic has affected world soccer. One of them is that most clubs are broke, except for the ones that are owned by oil states. So like Manchester City, Paris Saint-Germain are like the only ones that really have money to spend. And so Barcelona trying to cobble together money, and one of the things that they're offering is like, hey, in 2 years, maybe you won't play for us, but you'll play for Inter Miami while representing us. When David Beckham initially unveiled Inter Miami, like they were granted expansion, they released a video. Lionel Messi said, call me at some point, I might be interested. So Inter Miami has always had this possibility. They just have yet to execute on any of these big stars because these big clubs are broke. So a lot of the aging superstars are still staying in Europe because a lot of these teams want him on lower salaries than you have to pay in order to get a younger player in.
I love the symbolism of some of this, and you're going to have to help me locally to tell me if indeed that soccer team that we have is sort of a shiny emblem that represents Miami so well in that it's trying so hard to give off. We're a pulsating, vibrant, colorful, cool thing, but you're not sure if they actually have any money.
Oh, like, no. Well, I mean, they have money. No, like, no, like, I, they, no. They've been, they're currently the highest spending team in terms of salary
and
in MLS.
Bad.
But we don't know. I'm sorry, I misspoke. I'm saying we don't know in the age of the symbolism I'm fascinated by here. I don't know if this is accurate, what I'm saying. It just feels accurate. As Miami becomes the capital of, is that really currency? As we become Bitcoin and France, like we've been a corrupt city for a long time. And the guy who's mayor now, his father was the original crook mayor. Like we've had so many assortments of crooks and we are leading the way on, hey, is this really money? Miami believes in anything that can be built on something in the shadows, whether it's the entire city on cocaine or what's this cryptocurrency thing? Are we for real? First, we're going to be loudest. And now I saw in Coral Gables, So I don't even know with what they bought it with. You've got to look up some of the details. But purchases like this don't get made in Coral Gables. Like, whatever this money is flooding into Miami because we're a rule-breaking town and we'll just sort of take whatever it is you're giving. We're leading the way on this might be shady currency, but it's currency and maybe it's the future. We'll bet everything on it because we want to be the city of the future. And what I'm asking you, and I'm yammering already after promising I wouldn't, is if that team sort of with Beckham, like Moss was kind of just a phony. He didn't have the money when baseball came asking for it. He wanted to sit the Marlins, put him next to Loria so he can be on television being that Miami guy. But he didn't have the money. He could not buy it from Jeter. This was not, he did not have the money.
Right.
And so he wants so badly to be a sports owner. And now he's trying to make this team matter at this time as the money floods into Miami. And I'm asking you guys, is based on what I'm looking at, I'm like, oh, this looks shady, man. They want land. They bring Beckham out to dance because they want land and real estate cheating. I'm like, all of it feels shady and Miami and glossy. And I'm asking you as an expert if I'm right about that or if I'm just attaching stereotypes.
I will say, I mean, in terms of the actual deliverables, they had to build a stadium in 9 months and they did it. They just most recently played a game in front of a full stadium. Chris, you went to the game. I didn't get a chance to go. I mean, the fans are awesome, but the team hasn't had any on-field success yet. And, I mean, they kind of need one of these messy types to kind of bail them out right now.
But that would be, if that's real, if all of that is real, Miami getting messy? Christ.
Yeah.
Christ.
I just got goosebumps.
Are you kidding me? Like, you're telling me that might be real, that we might be able to get him over here with a few Bitcoin.
Yeah, Miami.
That doesn't seem real. I mean, I'm sorry.
I know. It's hard to believe it's real. Now, look, there's a naysayer out there who's going to go, they're getting him at age 36 and 37. It doesn't matter. He's messy. He is the biggest thing down here since LeBron came in 2010. And globally, a much bigger star than LeBron.
You've been waiting for this story since. You can tell the people because you remember it, do you not? You were a child in New York when this happened with soccer.
Oh, with the Arrows and the Cosmos.
Yep.
Yes, they got Giorgio Canalia. They got great international players, and it really flourished for a while in New York until they became bad and soccer was dead again.
Wasn't Pele? Didn't Pele yes. play at the
Pele
end?
Pele played at the for the Cosmos at the end. But Dan, that helped with attendance. But what really helped were getting guys in their prime like Beckenbauer and guys like that to play at Giant Stadium in front of packed houses, and the team was really, really good. But Pele certainly helped.
If you fuse Messi and Miami, even if it's Miami telling you he's spent, he's going to be Pele at the end with the Cosmos. He's not that player anymore. Miami's all flash, man. Miami will support that at the start, even if it's bad. That will become an event immediately just to watch Messi's first season.
Miami will feel like it had won just by getting Messi. We have Messi and Beckham. What do you got?
We are just shiny things. We are just
one doesn't play, one's old. What do you got?
Amazing shiny things. We might not have the money, we might not have the talent, but we've got shiny things.
Listen, Lionel Messi's first game for Inter Miami could fill Hard Rock Stadium. That's going to be the anticipation for this man.
No. Yes, for sure.
Absolutely.
Stugatz, for sure.
We're talking like 80,000 people coming to see a soccer
Stugatz,
game.
Stugatz. No. Stugatz. No, 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 no. Messi's first game would fill two of those stadiums.
No, it would
You
not.
Don't know the city you're living in. You might be talking for Palm Beach. You do not know the city you're living in.
It's a long drive.
I mean, this you.
Although the current stadium is closer to you than it is to Miami. So
that's one way to get us to meet in the middle. You can look, man. This is the pay-per-view age. You just saw what Mayweather came in and stole your money. He stole all your money because he's smarter about this. Big event things. Miami can't make a better bet. You can try and sustain long-term finances, attendance, and make a great team. But this is a shortcut. This is a shortcut to getting Miami's heart because Miami loves front-running like this. They will go to Fort Lauderdale. I can't think of anything else that would actually make Dade County Brown blend in to Fort Lauderdale White more than Messi playing in Fort Lauderdale. Like, maybe Ronaldo?
Yeah, I mean, and Ronaldo is kind of up for discussion as well. He's another player who might leave his current club, Juventus, this summer. And he is considering moving to the United States. And I think the other thing that's underappreciated is how much of an appeal that is for these guys, right? They recognize, like, their big sponsors are Adidas, Nike, you know, companies that want to be massive here, and they recognize just the pure dollar signs that are to be made here. And the report that Greg is referencing is a report from a Spanish newspaper called Sport, where they're basically guaranteeing Messi, you might not be playing for Barcelona in 2 years, but even playing for Inter Miami, we can guarantee you, you'll be making $60 million a year between what your salary will be in MLS and all the other things we will surround you with.
You'd be getting him cheap. Honest to God, you'd be getting him cheap. You could sell out the first. You can make, you make your money back the first day with that dude.
What a great name for a paper. Sport.
You mentioned earlier they could fill that stadium twice. That's a good business plan if they get Messi. They play every home game twice. Yeah. And then just get new.
Or they just build one stadium on top of the other.
Or allow just double the crowd in and just say whatever happens,
just
happens.
Just sit on top of each other.
I am telling you that if you sold Messi's first game this way, you said, okay, we'll fill it once with you guys. You get to watch the first half. We're going to charge you guys double on the second half. And you can empty the stadium and fill it again.
Wow.
You could do it every 20 minutes if you wanted to, just taking everybody's
line
money.
Changes.
But I like Chris's idea. Do you think they would sell 160,000 tickets for an 80,000-seat stadium?
In Miami, we would.
Yes, have everyone sitting on each other's laps.
In Miami, first come, first serve.
No doubt.
I'm going to tell you guys the true story because you just made me think when you said Messi would obviously be nice since we're talking about unbelievable things. But Ronaldo, in terms of being Miami...
Messi actually is probably like too quiet and not nearly enough of a personality. Ronaldo would own the shit out of Miami.
Oh, my God. He would play naked.
I'm going to tell you a story. I'd want him to.
He should play naked.
We don't. Put it on the poll.
I go.
Put it on the
with
pole.
Shin guards on. He'd have just shin guards
put
on.
Put it on the poll. Should Ronaldo play naked? But just in terms of perfection, physically, athletically, carrying himself with grace and cool, twice as tall as Messi, just as graceful. He fits Miami better. And I can tell you, having seen it myself, he loves Miami. Saw him by a pool at the W. And this is a funny story.
You were hanging out with Greeny at this time, right?
You guys have heard the end of the story?
Not the end. I just remember you saying you saw Ronaldo.
I was hanging out with Greeny. That's an aside. That's another aside. I was hanging out with Greeny, and yes, we had the conversation. I've told that story before. Yes, we've had the conversation where he said he wanted to write one great book in his lifetime, and I said, what do you mean by great? And he said, you know, a great book. And I'm like the Quran? You want to write the Quran? So that's one thing that happened by the pool.
I'd rather hang with Greeny than Ronaldo.
That's true. That's true. So
you're the only person in America that would say that.
Put it on the poll.
Is Stugatz the only person in America who would say he'd rather hang out with Greeny than Ronaldo? I couldn't believe the way Greeny and his family were behaving around Ronaldo. Like, or that everybody was behaving around Ronaldo. That he's just laying in a chair there and it's flashbulbs going off and it's in no way a real life. Like, it's just because the foreign press is still crazy. I didn't feel like we still do that with people. Do we still do paparazzi that way?
No, I mean, maybe in Los Angeles, maybe because we don't live in LA, like we don't experience that. But in the UK, like Jose Mourinho gets fired by Spurs and there's 20 reporters stood outside his house waiting for him to talk for 40 seconds outside of his car. Like, they are still rabid.
It's insanity. And it would come to Miami with Messi. It's what would follow. Are you guys saying this? You guys are believing this report because you're saying it's got too many details and Sport is too credible. As Stugatz says, it should be.
Yeah, but just Sport, I mean.
This publication isn't going to be printing rumors is what you're telling me.
I mean, like Greg said, trusting journalism from Europe is hard sometimes. You just don't know. And these deals are so complicated. But, I mean, it's always been kind of rumored for every major star. Every major star at the end of their career wants to go to the U.S. They just view it as a massive money-making opportunity. Zlatan came here, was a big star for a year and a half for LA Galaxy, and then left owning 20% of a club in Sweden. Like, the business opportunities for these guys, particularly post-career, are massive.
And Messi has said directly that he would like to play a couple of years in America, experience life here, experience the league here. So I think if any team gets him, I tend to think it's going to be Miami.
And if any star, you know, would come here, I mean, Messi would still get a ton of attention, right, because he's Messi. But it's still much less of a fishbowl than living in Barcelona is. Like, you can imagine a scenario where Lionel Messi can go out in public and not be completely harassed, which he can't do in Barcelona, right? Like, there's still a modicum of anonymity you can have here as a soccer star.
One of the things I'm so excited about, and one of the reasons that this weekend was so moving, because if you've been watching, this is the hood ornament on the business. This is the only thing exists right now on Meadowlark Media as it presently looks. We're the thing, but it's going to become over the next few years something else. And something that came across my desk the other day is the ability to do the documentary with Zlatan, where you're embedded in his last season. And can you imagine Whittingham? Like, how many people wouldn't eat that up? That particular guy, right, with all the drapings of way to himself, problematic thoughts, unbelievably arrogant, should play naked and on a white stallion, and so confident, and did everything in L.A. Whittingham, I wouldn't even expect Messi to be that good. I wouldn't, if he were that good,
you'd
and
take it
changes
right now,
the fortunes of the team as well, that'd be great. But what Zlatan did was he just infused star power. Messi's not nearly that interesting. Messi, I have so rarely seen, he's one of the most famous athletes of my lifetime, and I know so little about Messi's personality. Like, it's almost shaped like the box that he comes in. Do you guys feel like you know Messi? He ain't going to be starring you. He's not going to be selling your city with sound bites.
I don't feel like I know Messi. I'm not certain I feel like I know Ronaldo. I just know that he's hot. I mean, that's it, you know? I mean, and he's more Miami. Dan is right about
but
that.
But he's also got personality. He is that suave. I don't know if it matters. Does it matter if Messi is nothing more than the myth, that he doesn't have to be a voice or a personality? It's Messi.
I think you're exactly right. Messi is Messi. He's one of a kind. He's arguably the greatest soccer player to ever touch a ball. A lot of people are surprised to hear, by the way, that Ronaldo is actually older than Messi, which surprises some people. But either way, I think it needs to be said that David Beckham desperately needs a Messi. He desperately needs somebody to rescue him, because the David Beckham impeccable international brand has taken a hit with Inter Miami right now. Inter Miami has been a colossal failure to this point. Now, it's only a year plus in. They've played 32 matches, I think, and won 9. They've been scandalized by the cheating scandal regarding roster and budget and the biggest fine in MLS history. David Beckham needs something huge and positive to happen, and Messi is it like nobody else
would
be.
What a great Hail Mary. If this is actually something really that's floundering, how Miami is that? How Miami is that something? Look, we're coming out of the box with a lot of noise and a lot of flash. We're going to throw money up in the air, and maybe the money's real, but when it got to be in baseball money, it was not real. The money was a bit of an illusion. Let's go. Big party. Let's spend the money all over the place. Uh-oh, we're not any good. Okay, you know what's a good way to get this city to turn on you real quick? Is be terrible and not famous.
Right.
You can only drop Beckham out there so many times.
Okay, yes, that's right. They're done. They've used up all the Beckham.
I disagree. And Mike can back me on this when he's back. But he sits in that club
section.
What do you
mean, back from where? From the dead?
Yeah. Back from the beyond.
You have him coming back as a zombie producing this show? As a zombie? What are you talking about?
I'm going to go to his tombstone and summon his spirit so he can tell me about what it's like in that club section.
When Mike comes back, what the hell are you
horrifying.
Talking about, Whittingham? What do you believe in? What other weird thing do you believe in?
Soccer.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.